Today's daf is Sukkah daf Gimel, and we are 20 lines from the bottom of daf Beis Amid Beis Meisavet. Before we begin, I just want to thank the Garden View Olam for hosting this morning's shir, specifically for the Mesadrin, Yedidi, Chananya Pomerantz, Menachem Friedman, Benjamin Berger, Shia Greenberg, Alti Freilich, and really the whole Olam. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas Chaim ben Yitzchak, that's Reb Chaim Rosenberg, whose levaya is going on right now. May today's learning be a schus and an aliyah for his neshama. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim Ramosha Chaim. So yesterday we began Masechta Sukkah, and the first line of the Masechta deals with a Sukkah shehi gevaya. Where the walls of the sukkah were so tall that the schach is 20 amos or more from the ground. And the Mishnah says it was machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, and whether it's kosher or pasul. Sukkah shigavoy lamayla miyasr mama psula. Rabbi Yehuda machsha. Rabbi Yehuda said the sukkah is going to be kosher. And the first sugya of the Masechta deals with why is it that the Chachamim hold the sukkah shigavoy lamayla miyasr mama is psula. And what emerged, it's four reasons. Rabbi said, it says in the Torah, "Man yedu dayreisechem ki besukah seishavte es b'nei Yisrael." Pasha, what it means is that when a yid sits in a sukkah, he has to remember why he's sitting in a sukkah. Sukkah is mamish, anani akovid, the second anani akovid, rotzi sabanu, the raid in yesterday's daf. But that's the pasha pshat in the pasuk. But Rabbi said that the pasuk is also teaching us a halach, and that is when a person sitting in a sukkah, l'man yedu, he has to know that he's sitting in a sukkah. Knowing that you're sitting in a sukkah means you can see the schach. Because the ikur part of the sukkah is the schach. Up until 20 amos, it's within your vision on some level. You see the schach, you can be mekayim l'man yedu dayreisechem. Once the schach is l'mayla miyasrim amah, you don't see it, you don't feel like you're sitting in a sukkah. Even though you see the walls of the sukkah, you may see some noise sukkah, but that's not the sukkah. The sukkah is the schach. As a result, the sukkah is going to be pasul. Reb Zeira said a different reason. He said it's because the pasuk says in Yeshaya, the sukkah tiyah litzel. The tachlis of a sukkah is for it to provide shade. Up until 20 amos, the schach is providing shade. L'mayla miyasr mamla, the schach is not providing shade. So if the ikur of a sukkah is to provide shade, and again, the ikur of the sukkah is the schach, so the only time the sukkah is going to be kosher is if the schach is providing shade. Ad asr mamla is providing shade. L'mayla miyasr mamla, it's not. And it's for that reason, a sukkah shigavoyo, l'mayla miyasr mamla is psula. Rava gave a third reason. He said, it says in the Torah, that the sukkah has to be a shivas yomim type of dira. It has to be a diras aroi, which means that it has to have a shear that if you wanted to make it aroi, you could have made it aroi. Up until 20 amos, you can make a temporary structure. L'mayla miyasr mamla, it has to be a more kavua, more permanent structure, and it's for that reason a sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasr mamla is going to be possible. On Amid Beis, what emerged was that there's a fourth reason why sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasr mamla may be possible, and that is if you make a sukkah really small and it's so tall, it's just not a beis dira. It's what Tosfos says, a lul shaltan negoylem. It's for chickens, it's not for people. A sukkah has to be a dira for human beings. As a result, it's going to be possible. But the point is four distinct reasons why a sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasr mamla may be possible. And what emerged additionally from the Gemara is that there are nafkaminas lahalacha between the four pshatim. Just to review it as it segues very much into today's daf. Number one, the Gemara said that if you hold, like Rabba, that the reason a sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasr mamla is psula is because you don't feel like you're sitting in a sukkah, the only time it would be a problem is if the walls don't connect to the schach. If the walls connect to the schach, it's going to be okay. Because even though people usually don't look 40 feet high, but sometimes you're going to follow something, and even if it's 40, 50, 60 feet, you're going to look to see how high it goes. So you notice the wall. If the wall connects to the schach, even though the schach is so tall, it doesn't matter. You may see the schach. So said the Gemara, according to Rabba, Rabbi Yoshia was the one who said it in the name of Rab, it should come out that even though sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasr mamla is psula, but you have to read the fine print. There's a time it's going to be kosher. When will it be kosher? If the walls connect to the schach. The Gemara said, if you hold like Rav Zeira, that the reason a sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasr mamla is possible is because the schach is not providing shade. It's not always the case. What if you have a big sukkah? So it's true, you have very, very tall walls, but the walls aren't boxing in the sun. So then the schach would be providing shade. Said the Gemara, according to Reb Zeira, the only time it would be true that a sukkah shigavoy the ma'ayim yasser amis psula is if the sukkah was dalet amis al dalet amis. But if it was yoysimi dalet amis al dalet amis, in that case, it's actually going to be kosher. And then the Gemara said that according to the fourth reason, that the reason a sukkah shigavoy the ma'ayim yasser amis psula is because it's a lul shel tarnagoyim. Well, that's only true if it's really small. If it's small and tall, so that's made for tarnagoyim, not for people. But what if it's big? People live in houses. The kings used to live in houses where the doors and the arches were very, very tall. So the Gemara says, if it would be so small that it's literally Zayin Tvachim al Zayin Tvachim, that's a lot smaller than Dalet Amis al Dalet Amis. So then the halacha would be a problem. But if it's bigger than even Zayin Tvachim al Zayin Tvachim, it's bigger than Roshoi Verubai Veshulchanoi, in that case, the halacha is, it would be kosher. So we have four reasons for Sukkah Shigavoy L'mayla Miyasarama Psula, the Sheet of the Chachamim. And we have nafgaminas lahalacha. So we're picking up on that note, and the Gemara asks Akasha, Meisave, sukkah shigavoy l'mayla me'yasser ma'am upsula. A sukkah that's gavoy l'mayla me'yasser ma'am is possible. Rabbi Yehuda ma'akshe, Rabbi Yehuda said it's kasha, ad arbon v'chamisha ma'am. How high would it have to be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to where we start getting a little uncomfortable? He said, up to 40, 50 yamas, at that point it's going to be okay. So is it 40 yamas? Is it 50 yamas? That's the last Tosis on the Yamin. Tosis discusses Rabbi Yehuda's sheet a little bit better. But essentially, this Braisa is the halacha of the Mishnah, albeit in a different language, Kederech HaBraisas. Since the Machloik is Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, according to the Chacham, a sukkah shigavoy l'mayla me'asr mamas psula, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah shigavoy l'mayla me'asr mamas, up to 40, 50 yamas is going to be kosher. But the Braisa continues, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, I'm going to prove to you I'm right from a story. Which, by the way, if you pay attention to this, throughout Shas, Rabbi Yehuda proved his points from mises. We speak this out sometimes. But this is a Rabbi Yehuda type move, where I'm right, and I know I'm right, because it was a meiser shahoya kachoya. So says the Gemara, what was this story? The story happened with Hilni Amalka, Belud, and it happened in Lod. So Hilni was a queen, and the story took place in Lod. Shahisah Sukasa. It was sukkah, she was sitting in a sukkah, and it was gevoy me'asr ma'am. It was more than 20 amas tall. So it was this controversial sukkah that according to the Chachamim is a problem. According to Rabbi Yehuda is okay. Because she was a queen, she was a dignitary, all the skenim, the Chachamim, they were going in and out. They were coming to visit her. And nobody said anything. So Rabbi Yehuda said, how could they have not said anything? She was sitting in a pasul sukkah. She's sitting in this monster sukkah. And all the skenim are there, all the gedoylim, no one said a word. Must be it's kosher. Amulay says the Chachamim said, Misham Raya, Isha Haisa. She was a woman, a Pturim and a sukkah. A woman's pater from sukkah. That's why they didn't say anything. If it would have been a melech, they would have said something. But it was a malka. Malka doesn't have to sit in a sukkah. Amulay hands, Rabbi Yehuda followed. And he said, no, Bala Shiva Banam Havullah. Everyone knows, only a malka had seven sons. So what about the sons? The oid, and repeat this besides, come asel leyasa ela papi chacham. I know that whenever she did something, she followed the chacham. So the Gemara clarifies, lumbly the missing void. Why did Rabbi Yehuda have to say for oid, come asel leyasa ela papi chacham? Hachi come, this is Rabbi Yehuda was like, kitaim rubanim kitanim are you? You're going to tell me it's true that Hilni Amalka had children, but maybe they were kitanim. The kitanim are also pturim in asoka. They're also patim in asoka. So again, she's patim in asoka. Her children were patim in asoka. Maybe that's why the chacham didn't say anything. Even the Shiva Hava, but Rabbi Yehuda said, being that she had seven sons, one of them must have been at the age where the child doesn't need its mother anymore. What does that mean? If a child doesn't need its mother, it's already at the age of chinuch, as it relates to sukkah anyways, so the child would not be obligated biblically to sin in a sukkah, but the child's parents would have a chinuch obligation to make sure the child's sinning in a sukkah. Says, so Rabbi Yehuda told the Chachamim, that why didn't the Skenim be Meicha? Because the children were at least at the age of Chinuch. So Rabbi Yehuda preempted. He said, V'chitem v'katim shein tzarech limim b'drabbanon. What's he getting to talk? It's only b'drabbanon. Chinuch is not d'raisa. It's only d'rabbanon. V'yub d'rabbanon l'yashkecha. Maybe she wasn't careful about d'rabbanon. It's tashma. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. V'oit kol ma'aseh lo'yasasa el al-pi chachamim. And they mean that everything she did was al-pi chachamim. She should have done it. In other words, we have a braisa, a little long-winded. Gemara clarified it, tweaked it a little bit. But essentially what the Braisa is saying is that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim argued about a sukkah shigavoy l'mayla me'yasser ma'am. Chacham said it's possible, Rabbi Yehuda said it's kosher. And the Braisa now gives us insight into an exchange, a real life shakla v'tarya, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. We have a little inside access here. So Rabbi Yehuda tells the Chachamim, I'll bring you a raya from a story. There was a story with Hilna Malka, it was on sukkah, she was sitting in a sukkah, it was very, very tall, it was gavoy l'mayla me'yasser ma'am. The Chachamim came in, And they didn't say anything. And Rabbi Yehuda told the Chachamim essentially the following. He said, why didn't they say anything? You're going to tell me because she was a woman, she's Patam and Asuka, but she had children. You'll tell me the children were Ketanim, but she had seven sons. One of them must have been at the age of Chinuch. So you'll tell me, who cares, Chinuch? Chinuch is only the Rabbanah. No, I know Hilni Amalka was Makbid under Rabbanah. So by the way, Hilni Amalka is trying to get it right. And the Chachamim walked in, they didn't say anything to her. Must be, it's Gashus. In short, Rabbi Yehuda said from the story of Hilni Amalka, I have a raya that a sukkah she gavoya, l'mayla me'esrim amma, is k'shera. Says the Gemara. From this braisa, and more accurately, from this story, we may have a little insight as to why a sukkah she gavoya, l'mayla me'esrim amma, is psula. According to Rabba and Rav Yoshia Amar Rav, but the Mandama that says that the reason Sukkah should go by the Master Amas Psula is because you don't feel like you're sitting in a Sukkah. So he said, if that's the case, when is it Nogeya Sukkah should go by the Master Amas? It should be possible as if the walls don't go all the way to the Schach. So Bishlam, according to that Mandama Amar, I understand that this Sukkah that Hilni Amalka was sitting in was a Sukkah that according to the Chachamim would be possible. Because Darkish al Malkul is a sukkah shein fanas magiyas l'schach. Because it makes sense that she'd be sitting in a sukkah and the walls wouldn't connect all the way to the schach. It's probably good to have a little ventilation, and as a result, it makes a lot of sense. Mishum avira, so the ear should come in. Ela lemandam sukkah ketana machloikis. But according to the other pshatim, where we said what emerges from those pshatim is that it could be the only time a sukkah she gavoy lemayla miyasir amas psula is if it's dalad amas al dalad amas. Where it could be that the only time a sukkah she gavoy lemayla miyasir amas is going to be psula is if it's zayin tvachim al zayin tvachim. V'chi darkish shal malko leishe besukkah ketana. Does it make sense that a queen would be sitting in a sukkah ketana? We brought two members in the name of Rab that it could be the only time a sukkah she gavoy lemayla miyasir amas is going to be psula is if it's a sukkah ketana. Dalad Amas al Dalad Amas, Zayin Tvachim al Zayin Tvachim. Those are really, really, really small sukkahs. So the Gemara is saying, does it make sense Hilni Amalka was sitting in such a sukkah? And the sukkah Hilni Amalka was sitting in was clearly a sukkah that according to the Chachamim is going to be possible if it's Lamayla Miyasir Mamma. So if the Gemara, v'chi darkish shal Malka to sit in such a sukkah, must be that those Amayram are incorrect. There is no such qualification in sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasir mamma that it's only true if the sukkah ketana. Even a sukkah gedoyl is a problem. The only qualification maybe is that you have to make sure that the walls don't go all the way to the schach. Okay, that you can somehow work in to the story of Hilni Amalka. But that's the Gemara's kasha. Omer Rabbi Baravado, it's Rabbi Baravado, said you're right. It's not mistaken that Hilni Amalka had such a small sukkah. But like Nitzchah Ella Sukkah Asuya, Kintoinius Kintoinius. It could be, even though the sukkah was a large sukkah, but maybe it was made up of a bunch of cubicles. Like there were little sections inside, and each individual section maybe was small, maybe it was Dalad Amas al Dalad Amas, or Zayin Tvachim al Zayin Tvachim, and therefore, even though the sukkah in its entirety was bigger, but each individual compartment was smaller, and it's for that reason it falls into the category of sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasir mamma psula, says the Gemara. That's hard to understand as well. You walk into the queen's sukkah, right? You think of the bubble of a sukkah. You can walk in, it's a bunch of little cubicles. That's what the sukkah is going to be. It's not mistaver. Rav Ashi said, you're right. What it means is, it was a big, shena, rebbish sukkah. There's nothing to talk about. But maybe there was a little section inside, and she was sitting in that little section, and that's why there was a nidoin, because that section was small, it was Dalad Amas al Dalad Amas, it was Zayin Tvachim al Zayin Tvachim. That's why we're discussing whether it fell into the category of a sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasir mamma, or whether it didn't. And in fact, Gemara says, once you make this a kimta, maybe we can understand Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan's positions a little better. Rabbanan savvy, the Rabbanan held, b'nei b'sukkah mal yavi yasri. The children were sitting in the proper sukkah. V'yir yasva b'kitaynis, v'shum tzniyusa. She was sitting in this cubicle, they were sitting in the larger sukkah. That's why they didn't have to say anything. She herself is patam in a sukkah. The children are chayim, maybe al tzchinach, which is only the rabbanon. But there was nothing wrong with what the children were sitting, because they were sitting in the larger sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds, but now Gabba have asked me. No, the children were sitting together with her. And they still didn't say anything. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda said, that's my raya that a sukkah should give away. The Master Mamas Ksheira. The bottom line is that Rabbi Yehuda brought a raya from a ma'isa from Hilni Amalka that a sukkah should give away. The Master Mamas Ksheira is Sheira. The Gemara thought that if Hilni Amalka sat in a sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasir mamma, that's insightful in terms of what type of sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasir mamma is really psula. But the Gemara was doichet, we can exhale. The Gemara now is going to shift gears. So one of the things that came up from that base is that there's a minimum shear of what a sukkah has to be. And as we're going to see in the Gemara, there's really three shiurim. I mentioned this briefly yesterday. There's really three shiurim in terms of the minimum shear of a sukkah. There's the shear of Roshoi Verubai. It has to be big enough for Roshoi Verubai to be able to fit in the sukkah. That means your head and most of your body. It's what Chazal understood was 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. This is shear of Roshoi Verubai Vishulchanai. So your head, most of your body, and your table. Chazal understood that the shulchan takes up one more tefach, so it's not 6 by 6, but rather it's 7 by 7. Then there's a third shita, the shita of Rebbe, that has to be Dalit Amos, al Dalit Amos. So that's going to be the topic now of the remainder of the daf. Zokti Gemara, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Halach. Halach is, Tzricha Shetei Machzekes, Roisha Verubai Vishulchan. The minimum shir of a sukkah has to be big enough that your head can fit in, most of your body can fit in, and your shulchan can fit in. Amalei Rav Abba. So Rav Abba said, come on, Beis Shammai. You mean like Beis Shammai? Amalei, oh, come on, who else do I mean? So of course I mean Beis Shammai. We'll see who Beis Shammai is in a second. Ikadam Yisom say, Amalei Rav Abba. Rav Abba said, Amalei Lachmani, who are you going like? Amalei, he told him back, Beis Shammai. I mean Beis Shammai, V'loi Tosus Mina. He said, I know you're getting uncomfortable, then I'm asking like Beis Shammai. But at the same time, V'loi Tosus Mina, this is what it should be. So Rav Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak Paskin, that a sukkah has to be big enough that it should be machzekes roishoy verubay v'shulchanay, and the Gemara said that's aliba de shitas Beis Shammai. So who's Beis Shammai? So it's a Mishnah on Daf Chof Ches Amud Aleph. It's very important to just see the words of the Mishnah because it's going to be critical for the next part of the Daf. The Mishnah says just the first line: Misha hayu roishoy verubay v'sukkah v'shulchanay b'tei chabayis. So Pasha, the way you teach this Mishnah, if you're learning Mishnayos, somebody was sitting in a sukkah, but his whole body wasn't in the sukkah. Roishoy verubay was in the sukkah, but a little bit of him and his table was inside his house. Bishamai poislam. Bishamai says it's possible. Ubisil machshirin. Beisil says it's going to be kosher. Again, a person is sitting in a sukkah where roishoy verubay is in the sukkah, but his shulchan's not in the sukkah. Bishamai says it's a problem. Beisil says it's going to be kosher. What does it sound like? Bishamai holds that you need roishoy verubay v'shulchanoy in the sukkah. I mean that shulchanoy is b'teich habayis, it's not okay. Beisil says it's kosher. You just need roishoy verubay in the sukkah. So that's what the Gemara means. Then Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak said, halacha tzricha shetei machzekes roishoy verubay v'shulchanoy. Oh, that's b'chura beishamai in the Mishnah on Dav Chav Ches Amin Aleph. Zok to Gemara. Is that true? Maske flow Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak asked the Kashmi. Mai de Bishamim Bissul Basukha Kitana Pligi. How do you know that the Machlok Bishamim Bissul and that Mishnah on Dav Chav Ches Amin Aleph is discussing a Sukkah Kitana, meaning a small Sukkah, the minimum sheer Sukkah? As if to say, the Machlok is, how small can a Sukkah be and still be kosher? According to Bishamai, has to be big enough for Roshay Verubi Vishulchan. According to Bishamai, just Roshay Verubi. Don't afraid the Gemara Vishulchan Gedoyalopi. Maybe the Machlokes is talking about a whole different thing. That Mishnah maybe is talking about when you had a large sukkah. The sukkah was as big as you want it to be. Kigoin, and what was the case? The Yosef Apuma de Metalusa, the person who was sitting at the edge of the sukkah, Vishulchan, and his tables just so happened to be in his house. The Bishamai Sabri goes, Rino Shemi Yimashi. Bishamai is worried that if your table is inside your house, you may end up in the house. So as a result, it's not okay. Ubeisil Sabri like goes, Rino. And Bishil says, you don't have to be guys. Bishamai is always machmed, always making gzeris. Bishil is usually less machmed and more makel. So maybe that's what the machloikis is over here. Meaning, what does one have to do with the other? Again, it's a nuance, but it's a very obvious nuance. The Mishnah seems to be talking about a case where Misha Hayer Roish Shavru, sitting in a very large sukkah, punked, he's sitting in a way where Shulchan is B'teich HaBayis. See, if a machloek is B'chaim Mizil, is that a problem or is that not a problem? That's not what our Gemara is talking about. Our Gemara is discussing the actual share of the sukkah, where the sukkah physically wasn't big enough for Roish Shavru B'Shulchan. So the Gemara is saying maybe it's two separate machloekis in. Sukkah Ketan is one Shiloh. What's the share of a sukkah? This is talking about something else. So maybe the two machloikasin are not exactly the same. It says the Gemara, Vedekanami. If you look at the Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches, it's actually mashma that way. The Ketani, because what did the Mishnah say? Misha hayo roishe verubay besukkah, vishulchane b'teich habayis, beishamai poizim is lo machshirin. Now, what does it say? Misha hayo, it's like a story. Once upon a time, there was a person who was Reish of a Rubei B'Sukkah V'Shulchan B'Tei Chabayis. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Machlokes really is on the size of the actual Sukkah, Machzekes V'Einu Machzekes B'Boiler, said, it should have said that. It should have said, not Misha Haya, a Sukkah that's big enough for Reish of a Rubei, but it's not big enough for Reish of a Shulchan B'Tei Chabayis. Bishami says it, Bishil says that. It's not what it said. So it's Mashma to the contrary. It's Mashma that the Machlokes over there is not discussing the minimum share of a Sukkah. It's discussing a regular bona fide Sukkah. And the Shai Lezah, person is poked, sitting in such a way. So what does that have to do with Bishamah and Bissel? Talk to Gemara that Ubisukkah Ketana Loi Pligi. One second. You want to tell me the Machiz Bishamah and Bissel is not discussing the minimum share of a Sukkah? I'll prove to you it is. How? Tanya, we're going to the right. So Machzekes Roish of Ruva Vishal Chonik Shed. A Sukkah that's Machzekes Roish of Ruva Vishal Chonik is Kosh. Rabbi Yomi, Rabbi says, Achei by Arba Amas Al Abra Amas. No, it has to be big enough that it's 4 Amas by 4 Amas. Tanya, we're going to another right. So Rabbi Yomi, Kol Sukkah Shem by Arba Amas Al Abra Amas. Same Rabbi. That a sukkah has to be arba amas al arba amas. Doesn't have to be roishay v'ruba v'shulchanay. Even roishay v'ruba v'shulchanay like Tani. Over here it doesn't say v'shulchanay. Kashana dadi. We have a steer between the two brises. You have two brises that discuss the minimum share of a sukkah. Both brises bring shitas rabbi. It has to be 4 amas al 4 amas. Both brises bring the chachamim who argue with Rebbe. But the sheet of the chachamim and the two brises are different sheetas. In one brise, the chachamim say roishe v'rubay v'shulchanay. In the other brise, the chachamim say roishe v'rubay. So you have a steer between the two brises. So how do you reconcile the steer? So the easiest way to do it is two different tanon. That means it sounds like there were tanon that held roishe v'rubay and there were tanon that held roishe v'rubay v'shulchanay. Who are they? Elalav Shmamino says the Gemara, probably Habe Shammai and Habe Sil. One was probably Be Shammai and the other one was Be Sil. So you see the machloi because Bisham Bisul and Dabchav Chesam and Aleph is not only discussing a big sukkah where punk you're sitting, Roisha Viruva Vishulchan Vidagabais. They were also arguing about the minimum share of a sukkah. Whether the minimum share of a sukkah has to be Roisha Virubai or Roisha Viruva Vishulchanai. And Abu Mazitra, Mazutra added today, it's a Masisanami Deko. The truth is, if you look back at that mission, it's mashma that way as well. Because Midik Tani Bishamai Poislin. The Mishnah says, Misha Roisha Viruva Vishulchan Vidagabais. Bishamai says it's possible, Bisul says it's kosher. Pasul means the esrig is pasul, the sukkah is pasul, the shofar is pasul, right? The sukkah is pasul, sukkah is pasul. Then Isa, the sukkah is a kosher sukkah. You just weren't yaitza because you just sat in it the wrong way. It should have said b'shamay emrim lo yaitza, ubeisul emrim yaitza mi bayalei. So says the Gemara, it's actually mashma from the Mishnah that they're arguing about a sukkah ktana. They're arguing about the minimum shir of a sukkah. So where it says ela kasha misha hayu. So then the lashon of Misha Haya is throwing us off. In other words, just to pause for 1 second, we have a Mishnah that Chav Chesam Rav that discusses the machlokes b'shamay b'sol. The case is a person was roishay v'rubay v'sukkah v'shulchanay b'toich habayis. This mashmois here that the sukkah was a regular sukkah. Punk, the person was sitting that way. This also mashmois that was the size of the sukkah. It was a very very small sukkah. The sukkah wasn't big enough for him to put a shulchan in. Why? Misha Haya roishay v'rubay v'sukkah sounds like it's like a story. It's a case. Someone that punked was sitting in such a way. The sukkah was a big sukkah. Punked is sitting that way. But then again, b'shamay poislin, b'shamay machshirim, it sounds like something wrong with the actual sukkah. If the sukkah is a kosher sukkah, he's punked sitting that way, then it should have said yatzah, la yatzah. Why are we talking about the actual sukkah? So the bottom line is, taina's the Gemara, so what's going on over here? There seems to be a stira in the mashmai, so what the Mishnah is. So the Gemara says, l'matarati pligi, you have to say that really, the Mishnah is talking about two different things. There's two things happening in the Mishnah. Pligi b'sukkah kitana, u'pligi b'sukkah gedayla. We're arguing about a sukkah kitana, and they're arguing about a sukkah gedayla, v'chsure mechsra. Do a little work here. V'hachi tani, this is the way you read the Mishnah. So this is the new and improved Mishnah. Misha haya roisha v'ruvay v'sukkah v'shulchanay v'teich habayis v'shama yoyimrim. What we wanted to say, lo yatsa u'beisil v'yimrim yatsa. Meaning he had a regular sukkah. The guy's punked sitting in this weird way. So according to v'shamay, you're not yoytza. According to v'sil, you are yoytza. Number two, what if the sukkah is a small sukkah? You can't even fit there. Then you can't say yatzah lo yatzah. Bishamay poislin. Bishamay says the chetz of the sukkah is basal. Ubeisul machshirin. And Beisul says that the sukkah is going to be kosher. Bottom line is, we have two important machloikis in Bishamay Beisul. They're similar. They're me'inyan le'inyan ba'oise inyan. But they're two machloikis in. They both have the same nosach. Roishoy v'rubay v'shulchanay or roishoy v'rubay. One is regarding a sukkah kitana, and the other one is regarding a sukkah gedoyla. Sukkah kitana, what's the minimum share of a sukkah? How big does a sukkah have to be? According to Beis Shammai, it has to be big enough where you can fit roishay v'rubay v'shulchanay. According to Beis Sol, it has to be big enough for you to fit roishay v'rubay. Second machlokes says, what if I have a large sukkah and I'm punked sitting in a way where roishay v'rubay is in the sukkah v'shulchanay v'tei chabayis? According to Beis Shammai, no, it has to be roishay v'rubay v'shulchanay. According to Beis Sol, roishay v'rubay is going to be okay. Now we know the rule. Whenever there's a machloikis between Bishamay and Bisilo, we paskin like Bisilo. But there's 6 exceptions to the rule. And this is one of the 6 exceptions. And there's a long Tosfos here in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel, Do'om Alachmani, Bishamay. And Tosfos begins, Beseder Rav Amram, pasak b'shisha mikoymos halacha kibei shamai chodo hai. The sukkah tzricha shnei machzekes roishoy v'rubay b'shulchan, and then Tosfos lays out the other five ayin sham. But this machloikis goes down as one of the six exceptions to the rule. One of the times where we actually paskin like Beis Hillel, and we don't pass from Lake B'Shamin. B'Shamin, not Lake B'Shamin, which is interesting because it's the second time we had this here in the two Dafin in Masech the Sukkah. Yesterday we said we pass from like Rebbe Eliezer, that Sukkah is a Zechel on Ani Yaakovit, even though we never pass from like Rebbe Eliezer. And the reason we never pass from like Rebbe Eliezer is because Rebbe Eliezer was from B'Shamin. That's why we don't pass from Rebbe Eliezer. And here we have it again. So we had it in Sukkah Dav Beis and Sukkah Dav Gimel twice. This repeated itself. This idea that for some reason Sukkah is different. And Sukkah, literally, the most basic halachas of sukkah. Why you sit in a sukkah? That's pretty straightforward, right? You have to know. L'man yedo. And the minimum share of a sukkah. That's pretty basic. And both times, the halachas that we paskin like Beis Shammai, we don't paskin like Beis Hillel. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll save that for another day. Incidentally, there's a shayla in the Rishonim. When we say we paskin like Beis Shammai, is it regarding both halachas? Right? We just said it's tuma betarti pligi. Is it only regarding the minimum share of a sukkah? What about a sukkah gedoyla where the person is punked, roisha v'rubay, that's a big shayla in the Rishonim, if we pass in like Bishami there as well. And the lumdus of it is, are the two machlokes really one? Are they tali zebezeh? They're not tali zebezeh. So this is, if you're learning this amid a little bit more, be'in. Bottom line is, we have Bishamai shita, Beis Hillel shita, as it relates to the minimum share of a sukkah. Is it roishai v'rubai, or is it roishai v'rubai v'shulchan? There was another shita that was mentioned twice in the two brises that the Gemara just brought. And that is, a sukkah has to be bigger than six tefachim al six tefachim, bigger than zayin tefachim al zayin tefachim, so we dalet ames al dalet ames. It was shitas rabbi. It's up to Gemara. Man tano v'hodo tano rabban. Who is the tano of the following brayse? Bayi she'im bayi arba ames al arba ames. A house that's not four ames, but four ames. Potem and a mezuzah. Number one, it's potem and a mezuzah. You don't put a mezuzah, you don't clap a mezuzah on a house or a room that's not dalet ames al dalet ames. Umin ha'makeh. And it's potem from ha'makeh. So if you have such a house and there's a you have a roof, so ordinarily you have to erect a fence around it. No maka, not if it's dalam to dalam house. Vinatam vinagam. All the halachas of nigei batim. A house could become a mitzvah. Not if it's not dalam to dalam house. There's a separate shulchan aruch. If somebody sells a house in a city that has a wall dating back, so there was special halachas, psukim in parashas bahar. But it doesn't apply if the house wasn't dalaramas. When the Yidin used to go fight in a war, so one of the exemptions to have to fight was Misha Banabayas, or someone that was Shana Rishoni, just got married, someone just started a new business, and Misha Banabayas, if someone just built their house, you can go home. The house has to be dalaramas. If it's less than dalaramas, you don't qualify. You're going to have to fight. Me'in ma'arvin boy. A house like that doesn't have to be mishtatef in a ruvei chatzeris of Mesachtas Erevin fame. But in Mishtatvim, boy, a house like that, that opens up into a chatzer, its chatzer doesn't have to contribute to Shetuf fame boy. It's also Mesachtas Erevin fame. The in Menichim by Erev. So when you're making a Ruvi Chatzeris and you have to place the proverbial box of matzahs in one of the houses, usually a shul, but in one of the houses, so you can't place it in a house that's less than Dalet Ames al Dalet Ames. The in Oisin Ibur bein Shtei Ayorois. Additionally, as it relates to Eruvei Techumen. So Eruvei Techumen means a person is not allowed to walk more than 2,000 Amis outside of the Tchum of a city. So you're allowed to walk more than 2,000 Amis. But you have to define the Tchum of the city. And once you figure out the Tchum of the city, the boundary of the city, beyond that point, you're not allowed to walk 2,000 Amis. Now, there's an idea in Mesechtas Erevin that if there's a house within a certain perimeter of the city, it's 70 and two-thirds Amis, but if it's within a certain perimeter, so the halacha is that that house extends the city. In fact, if you have two cities and there's a house that's lodged in between the two cities, as long as it's within an area of 141 and a third Amis, Ayin Mesechtas Erevin, it would combine the two cities. But as it relates to the definition of that house, how big does it have to be? It has to be dalet ames al dalet ames. Vein achim vashut fin cholkin boy. Brothers and partners, when it comes to distributing assets, if this house is less than dalet ames al dalet ames, they don't divide it. Gemara is going to explain what that is. But bottom line is we have a braisa that mentions a whole list of halachas that relate to houses, that these houses have to be dalet al dalet. And if they're not dalet al dalet, all the halachas don't apply. Says the Gemara, lema Rebbe, v'lei Rabbanan. At first glance, you would say it's going according to Rebbe. Rebbe holds a sukkah has to be dalet ames al dalet ames. Also, sukkah has to be dalet ames al dalet ames. It stems with this braisa. But according to Rabbanan, sukkah doesn't have to be dalet al dalet. It can be roisha v'rubay. It can be roisha v'rubay v'shulchanay. So if a sukkah doesn't have to be dalet al dalet, then probably a house doesn't have to be dalal damit for mezuzah. It probably doesn't have to be dalal damit for makkah. It probably doesn't have to be dalal damit for all the halachas of erev. But the Gemara says no. I feel the tamei rabbanan. I'd kind of call me rabbanan. When did rabbanan say that it doesn't have to be dalal damit eli in sukkah? That's only true for sukkah the diras haroi. It's a temporary dira. Avla gabi bias a diras kfahu. But as it relates to a bias, which is a diras kfah, it's a permanent resident. I feel the rabbanan moidi. Even the rabbanan are going to agree. The isbe dalal damit is dalal damit. The erev inchi. If it's dalal damit, then it's a diras kfah viloi. And if not. People don't live there. It's a diras haroi. As a result, it's not going to be okay. Meaning, the rabbanon hold that a house really has to be dalal adalit. A sukkah doesn't have to be dalal adalit. What do you mean? I thought it has to be a dira. Oh, one's a diras haroi. One's a diras kvar. It's pasha. Rebbe's chiddush is that the sukkah's parameters have to comply with an ordinary dira. I mean that a dira has to be dalal adalit. A sukkah also has to be dalal adalit. The rabbanon hold, no, a sukkah is fundamentally different. A sukkah at the end of the day is a diras haroi. A diras kva needs to be dalal amas adalal amas. A diras haroi actually doesn't have to be dalal amas adalal amas. Look at the Gemara. Oh, my, we'll do the first part of this Gemara and then we'll stop. So the Bryson mentioned a whole bunch of things that have to be dalal amas adalal amas. He said, potem and amazuzu, umin amaka, fe'imet tamme benegon, ve'inechlat. Any bias that is not dalal amas adalal amas, no mezuzah, no makkah, it's not metame bin agon, no bati ari chayma, and if you built a house like that, you don't get to go back from war, meaning you have to fight. My time, but what's the reason? So Mars is very straightforward. The bias ksiv behu bekulo. The reason is because it says bias by all of them, and because it says bias, these things are not considered a bias, and it's for that reason these things will not be included. Exhale. So two ha'aris, as it relates to today's daf. One is really more, a little bit of rate that we left on the table on daf beis. And then the other one is a little more lamdish, as it relates to daf gimel. So the first, it's just yusoydi, as it relates to, we're starting a new mesechta sukkah, a classic mesechta. The gemara began and asked the kasha, sukkah shigavoy l'mayla mi'ashram amo pesula. The Gemara, the very similar Mishnah in the beginning of Masechtas Erevin that says Mavoi Shahu Gevaya Me Esrim Amo Yemait. So the question was Sukkah Shigavoy LeMayla Me Esrim Amo Psula. Mavoi Shahu Gevaya LeMayla Me Esrim Amo Yemait. They really both mean the same thing. Psula means it's not okay. Yemait means if you want it to be okay, you better make it a little lower. But at the same time, Maishla Gavi Sukkah the Tani Psula. Maishla Gavi Mavi the Tani Takanta. Why by the Sukkah do we say it's Psula? And why by the Mavi did we say Takanta? So the Gemara said like this. Really, it would have said Yemait by the Sukkah as well. The Sukkah is Gevaya LeMayla Me Esrim Amo. The Schach is so high, lower it down a little bit. The reason we didn't say Yemait is because the Mishnah said a whole bunch of halachas. And if we were going to start getting involved in each one of the halachas that the Mishnah said and what you're supposed to do to fix it, we'd still be here. We'd be talking too long. Meaning, you'd have to say like this. Sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasir ma'amo yamayit. V'she'enu gavoy yasar atvachim yagbiyah. V'she'en lo sholish tefanois yosef doif. V'she'chamas ruba mitzelasa yar b'scha. It's just going to be too wordy. We don't want to be so wordy. So instead, we just use the word psula. That's a one word that covers everything. Sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyasir ma'amo is pasul. It's not gavoy yasar atvachim. It's pasul. There's no sholish tefanois. It's pasul. Chamas ruba mitzelasa is pasul. It's very simple. Erevin, it was just one halacha. Mavi shigavoy l'mayla miyasir ma'amo. So why say psula? Let's be constructive. Why just say it's a mess? Say what? Tell me what to do. You might. Takanta is a better way to talk. The Tana of the Mishnah would prefer to say that. But at the same time, Tanavish doesn't want to talk so much. And because of that, he'd rather use the word psula in our Mishnah because that one word psula captures everything that the Tana of the Mishnah is trying to say. So Rashi, right here in the Pesach and Aleph and the Sechta Sukkah says, and what would be so terrible if the Tana of the Mishnah would have talked a little bit more? Right? Let the Mishnah say, Sukkah Shigavay L'mayna V'yashrim Amo, is Yemayit. And if it's too short, make it taller. And if it's not enough walls, add a wall. And if not enough schach, be Moisim schach. So Rashi says, Pshat is, the Kaimelon, because it's a Gemara Psachim Daf Gimel on the days that says, "Lo'olam yeshana adam le'talmidoi derech kitzara." Then when you teach, you're supposed to teach b'derech kitzara. You're supposed to try to find the shortest way to make your point. Don't take the long scenic route. And as a result, it's shorter to just say the word psula, rather than have to explain each one of the cases of the Mishnah what exactly the takanta is. And that's why the Mishnah said psula, and the Mishnah did not say the takanta. This idea of Lo'olam Yishana Adam LeTalmid V'Derech Tzara is something we talk about a lot. Number one, who said it? Rav is the one that said it. Rav is the Amora that the Rambam says May oylam loisach sicha betela kol yomav. Throughout Shas, you find Rav was a shaskin. Rav never uttered an extra word. Rav is the one that said, afilu sicha schulin shal tamidei chachamim tzrichin talmud. Rav said that lasa lovi, they're going to judge a person, even for the sicha kala bein ishla ishla. Rav, throughout Shas, was very much about not talking too much. So, not coincidentally, Rav was the one that said that, even when you teach Torah, la'oylam yishana adam l'tamidei bederach yitzara. But I think that this line, of La'olam Yishana Adam Tamid B'Derech Tzara, is like an introduction to Talmud Bavli. I think this line is so insightful in terms of understanding what the Gemara does. So just to explain. Who wrote the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Now the truth is, that's a misconception. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi didn't make up the Mishnah. What he did was he was Mesadr the Mishnah. That's what he did. Fact. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was Mesadr the Mishnah. So what do you mean he was Mesadr the Mishnah? There was a Messiah of Torah Shabbat Peh that traced itself back all the way to Har Sinai. And there were different halachas that Yidden had with Messiah. Now, different Talmidim were Mekabel from their Rabbeim, the essence of the Messiah in the same way, but with different Neschais. Meaning he would say it this way, and he would say it that way, and he said it this way. You could say it theoretically in 10 different ways. You can add a word, you can subtract a word. There's different ways to do it. So what did Rebbe do? Rebbe sat down and he said, let's be Mesadr. See, he met with all the different Tanoim, his Rabbeim, and people from the previous generation, and he said, can you please tell me all the halachas you know? Can you tell me all the halachas you know? Can you tell me all the halachas you know? And they all sat down and they presented the halacha, everyone in their nusach. And then Rebbe chose which nusach he liked best. And that was the nusach that became known as the Mishnah. All the other nuschais were what was known as the brises. The Mishnah is not what Rebbe wrote, as opposed to the brises were written by some other author. All of the Mishnayis and the brises were once just different nuschais of the same idea that was presented. It was just a different sprach. Rebbe had to pick a sprach. And what Rebbe did was, he chose the sprach he liked, and that became Rebbe's chosen. He wrote it down, even though previously it hadn't been written. That became now known as the Mishnah. And everything else from this point moving forward will be simply known as the Braisa, not on the same level. Now, how did Rebbe choose? Like, what was his deciding factor? So we know Stam Mishnah is Rameyer. So what does it mean Stam Mishnah is Rameyer? One of the people Rebbe interviewed when he went through this process was Rameyer, please sit down. He sat down Rameyer. He says, let me hear. So Rameyer told him, Suki Shigavoy Lamay Lamiyasir Mama Psula. I like that. Yeah, that's Shnayim Boichs of the Talis. Right, now that was very Gishmak. And that's the way he went about it. Literally, Shivas Yomim Koydim Yem Ekipur Mafrishim Koygal. You know, the other time I said it a little bit differently. And he liked Rameyer. So why did Rebbe like Rameyer? So the truth is, Rebbe was a Talmud Mubik of Rameyer. The Gemara says in Erev and Yudgimel Amaveis that Rebbe said the reason he became who he became is because he used to see Rameyer giving shir, but he only saw the back of him. Had he seen the front of him, forget about it. So we know that Rebbe considered himself a Talmud Muvik of Rameyer. But that's not why he picked Rameyer. I left it at home. But if you look in the Igeris of Rav Shri Ragoyin, who was one of the Ga'onim, which is considered, by the way, Rav Shri Ragoyin wrote an Igeris that's considered like the definitive historical work. That bridges the gap from the times of the Gemara to the times of the Ga'onim. So a lot of the history information that we have came from one letter. It's a long letter. It's one letter, and it was written by Rav Shri Ragoyin. So Rav Shri Ragoyin wrote this letter, and in the letter, one of the things he talks about is this. And he says, why did Rebbe pick Rameyer? Pashut, he was his Talmud. It's not why he picked Rameyer. Because Rameyer had a koyach haloshon, and Rameyer knew how to make his point very, very concisely. And that's why he did it. He felt that he wrote beautifully, he wrote very poetically, but here's the punchline, concisely. And Rebbe wanted the Mishnah to be as concise as possible. And that's why he chose Rameyer. Stam Mishnah is Rameyer, because Rameyer knew how to make a point concisely. He didn't repeat himself again and again. That's how Rameyer did it. And because of that, that's why ultimately Stam Mishnah became known as Rameyer. That's the reason. That's why when you learn Gemara, what happens? You learn a Mishnah, your mamas don't even know what the Mishnah is saying. Not only you don't know, Rav and Shmuel don't know sometimes. And Rav Pop and Rav Chizdis sometimes don't know. And that's what the Gemara says, Yibayaluhu. Who is Yibayaluhu? Stam Yibayaluhu in Shas is Abayin Rav. Abayin Rav didn't even know. And Rav Ashi, and they're trying to figure out, Dikanami, Ochinami, Mistabra. And then very often you have no choice. And all of a sudden, the Mishnah Stukah starts looking like a Mishnah Erev, and that's what you do sometimes. You don't have a choice. But sometimes, why? What's the pshat? And better, Because it was written so big tzara. And we tack it on up. And when you go through a Gemara, what's the Gemara do, right? Is it Nibayalo? What's the first thing we do? What's the first move in Nibayalo? Tashma. What's a Tashma? It's usually a Braisa. That says the same thing the Mishnah is saying, but it's just talking a little more. Why didn't Rebbe just do that? Because Rebbe wanted it Bederech Tzara. This is the way Rebbe wanted it. And in Rebbe's Ruach HaKodesh, in Rebbe's Chachma, Rebbe felt the right way to do it is do it this way. And there'll be Dairis, well, there'll be Amirayim and Ga'ayim, and then there'll be Rishayim and Achrayim and Rishivis, and exactly, and all the alumnus is going to be flying. And we'll figure it all out. It'll all make sense. This is what Yidden are going to do. This is in Bis Medrash. But ultimately, he dafka wrote it Bederech Kitzara. And really, it's mamish, it's an opener in terms of understanding. Like the Gemara, that's where you have the Mishnah, it's Biktsara, and that's where all the Tashmas come in. And you notice a Brisa, every Brisa is adding a little something. Rebbe could have put that Brisa in. He didn't want it. Now the question is, why not? The question is, why Rebbe didn't want to do it? One suggestion is because really, the Teresh Ba'peh wasn't supposed to be written. Teresh Ba'peh was supposed to be transmitted orally, right? Also to write Teresh Ba'peh. Rebbe was the first one to write Teresh Ba'peh. And the reason he wrote the Teresh Ba'peh is because he saw Teresh Ba'peh was being forgotten. See, he felt felt that he had no choice. And because he had no choice, so this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to write Teresh Ba'peh. But he felt that even though he's going to write the Teresh Ba'peh, it's a bidiyevet. So if it's a bidiyevet, let's write as little as we have to. So instead of writing the Lashon Arucha, he'll write the Lashon Kitzara. You know, we've mentioned in the past that Rav Nosson Adler, Chassam Sofer's Greiser Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler never wrote any Svarim. And he said the reason he didn't write Svarim was because he never forgot anything. And he felt the only reason you're allowed to write Torah is because maybe he forgot then. He never forgot his learning. And because he never forgot his learning, he didn't write. In fact, we once spoke out a tshuva from the Ksav Sofer, where the Ksav Sofer said he once went to Frankfurt to daven by Kivrei Yavis, and when he was there, he met someone that knew him. This is the Ksav Sofer, the Ksav Sofer's son, and he said he gave him a gift. And the gift was he gave him Rav Nosson Adler's Mishnayos. We spoke out a Ha'orah from that Mishnayos, and he said he went through the Mishnayos and there were Pintalach. Literally, so he goes through a Mishnah, Rav Nosson Adler's, what was his Ha'orah? One dot, two dots, three dots. It's mamish what the Ha'orahs were. This was Rav Nosson Adler, he didn't write. He wrote Pintalach, that much he wrote. And he knew what three dots means and two dots means. And this was Rav Nosson Adler because he never forgot his Torah. And he felt, there's no way Slasas Hashem, Eferah Torah Sechel. So it could be it's al derech zeh. Rebbe felt, we're writing it, but this is a bidiyevet. We can't go write like a chilo. If Rebbe would have wrote the Brises, so many Gemaras, literally, every daf and shas would be Gemaras. That we, whatever, okay, it's written, it's Mefurish in the Brisa. You know exactly, you don't need a Baiver up to argue about something that's Mefurish in the Mishnah. It's because it was written so Bederech Yitzara. But the bottom line is, this line, tucked away, Lo'olam Yishana Adam L'Talmida Bederech Yitzara, it comes up a lot and a lot and a lot. It's one of the foundational points in terms of understanding Pashat, the structure of a Gemara, and exactly what the Gemara is doing when it does what it does. That's the first Aruch. The second Aruch, slightly more Lundish. And that is, so we had a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what the minimum share of a sukkah is. Beis Shammai says the minimum share of a sukkah has to be big enough where you can fit roishai, verubai, v'shulchana. Beis Hillel said the minimum share of a sukkah only has to be big enough for you to be able to fit roishai, verubai. And we said, even though ordinarily when there's a machloikis, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, we paskin like Beis Hillel. This is one of six exceptions, like Tosfos brings in the name of Rav Amram. Over here, the halacha is not like Beis Hillel. Over here, the halacha is like Beis Shammai. The Bir Halacha, Siman Tov Resh Lamed Daled, quotes a Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says that a sukkah has to be Zayin Tvachim al Zayin Tvachim, Kishitas Beis Shammai, the shear of Zayin Tvachim al Zayin Tvachim is Halacha L'Moshe Misin. That's what the Prima Gadim says. At first glance, he's not saying such a big Kiddush. The Gemara says in a bunch of places, it's coming up in a few Daftin, that shiurin, chatzitzin, and mechitzin are halacha l'moishim yisinai. Shiurim are all halacha l'moishim yisinai. So because shiurim are all halacha l'moishim yisinai, it makes sense that the shear of a sukkah is also halacha l'moishim yisinai. So the Prima Gadim at first class, not saying such a big kiddush. Prima Gadim said that the shear of a sukkah, zayin al zayin, is halacha l'moishim yisinai. Oh, but the bir halacha is matmiya on this Prima Gadim. It says he doesn't understand how the Prima Gadim could possibly say that the shear of a sukkah is from the shiurim that are halacha l'moishim yisinai. He says, why not? He says, because the Rambam says in Hilchas Mamrim Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, this may sound familiar, Divrei HaKabbalah ein bahem machloikis la'olam. Divrei HaKabbalah, anything that we have halacha l'moishim yisinai, there is no machloikis. The chol davar shetibatzei me machloikis, anytime you find a machloikis in anything, you know it's not something that we have in Mesirah. Because anything that we have in Mesirah, There can't be machloikis. It's a freak to bir halacha. How is it possible that the sheer sukkah is halacha l'maish misina? It's a machloikis. Bishamay and Bishilol. Bishamay is the one that says Zayin al Zayin. Bishilol said it's vav vav. We grab the pasuk like Bishamay. But at the end of the day, it's a machloikis. If it's a machloikis, by definition, it can't be halacha l'maish misina. This is the bir halacha's kasha, and the bir halacha blayb sarachin. So the truth is, we spoke about this in the past, recently in the end of Masech Tzuma, but I think it's kedai to repeat the im beis medrash would add a very, very geshmak chiddush. And that is, there's a gemara Masech Tzuma that pay him at Aleph. The gemara brings a braisa. Shiurim shal oinchen, halacha l'moishim yisinai. The shiurim are all halacha l'moishim yisinai. Acherim oimrim, others say, acherim is remeir, beis dinai shal yayvitz tikma. It's not halacha l'moishim yisinai, but rather it comes from the bezdin of yayvitz. So what exactly is the bezdin of yayvitz? So the rest of the story is the Gemara Masechtes Temura, Daf Tezayin Amaral. The Gemara there discusses that Bimei Evelei Shal Moshe, during the Avelos Shal Moshe, Nishtakhu, there were many, many halachas that were forgotten. Shloishes halachim halachas, there's different gersoys in the Gemara, but there were many, many halachas that were forgotten. Bimei Evelei Shal Moshe. Amar Rabbi Avo said that even though all these halachas were forgotten, Afal Pikein, Hechziron Osniel Ben Kenaz Mitoich Bopudloi. Osniel Ben Kenaz, he was one of the Shoiftim. He was Beis Dinoi Shel Yaivetz. He was Machzor these halachas. He brought these halachas back. So temporarily, these halachas had been forgotten. But at the same time, Osniel ben Kenaz came along and he brought these halachas back. So Pashup Shad, Rashi says there, that Beis Dinoi Shel Yaivetz Tikna means it was the Bezdin of Osniel ben Kenaz that brought all these halachas back. So again, we have a Braisa. Shiurim Shel Oinshim, all the Shiurim are halacha l'moishim yisinai. Acherim Oimrim, Ramei said, Beis Dinah Shal Yavetz Tiknum. They're related to Asniel Ben Kenaz. It's related to Beis Dinah Shal Yavetz. Freit the Brisker of, I don't understand Pashup Shad in this Braisa. The Braisa seems to be saying there's a machloikis. What's the origin of Shiurim? The Chachamim say, what's Shiurim? They're Alokh Lamay Shemi Sinai. What did Acherim say? They're related to the Beis Din of Yavetz, which means they were Alokh Lamay Shemi Sinai. They were rather forgotten. And then Asniel Ben Kenaz brought them back. But at the end of the day, what are they? They're halachas l'moishim yisinai. So the Chachamim are saying, Shiurim are halachas l'moishim yisinai. Acherim is saying, it's halachas l'moishim yisinai. So what are we arguing about? Said the Biskurov, Acherim is coming to be moisif, the history. That's what Acherim is coming to be moisif. Acherim is coming to say that you should know there are halachas l'moishim yisinai. But boom, FYI, hashtag rest of the story. You want to know where these halachas were from? These were from the halachas that were forgotten in the Evel Shal Moshe. And then Osniel ben Kenaz came and he brought these halachas back. I hear, it's very nice. It's geschmack to know this, but it usually doesn't make it into a braisa. Certainly not a mishnah, but certainly doesn't make this into a braisa. So why would the Tana the braisa be willing to tell? Why it's not doesn't seem like a necessary point. Meaning at the end of the day, for Ektibris Gerov, what's machloikas? The Chachamim say that Shiurim are alochel moish misinai. Acherim said they're alochel moish misinai. Beis dinah shal yavetz tiknun. I hear it. That's a little historical fun fact. But at the end of the day, if it's beis dinah shal yavetz, it's vaiter alochel moish misinai. So what exactly is the machloikas? So the Biskarov said a davar niflo. Biskarov said, because the Rambam says, the Rambam that we just quoted, Divrei HaKabbalah in behem machloikis. He can have machloikis by Allah l'moishim yisinai. V'chol davash ha-timatzi behem machloikis. Anytime you find a machloikis, b'yodua she'im e-kabbalah b'moishim yisinai. You know for sure that this is not Divrei HaKabbalah. So the Biskarov said, it always bothered me, this Rambam. He says, you find so many sugis in Shas, where you find machloikis in, where you find machloikis in Allah l'moishim yisinai. How's that possible? How could you have a machloikis in Allah l'moishim yisinai? Biskarov's example is Chatzi Nezik Tzroiris, above a Kame example. That's Allah l'moishim yisinai. It's a machloikis, Sunkhus and the Chacham. But there's many Gemaras in Shas where there's a machloikis regarding Allah l'moishim yisinai. The Rambam said, Divrei Kabbalah, ein behem machloikis li'olam. So Biskarov said, a dove niflo. Biskarov said, any Allah l'moishim yisinai that we have been misoira, that's Divrei Kabbalah, loitivatsa mehem machloikis. But there were different halachas, 3,000, 1,700, different recites in the Gemara of halachas that were forgotten. How do we have those halachas today? Mitoich pilpuloi shal Osniel ben Kenaz. Osniel ben Kenaz came with pilpul, he came with lumnis, he came with yud gemar midrash hater in the drashas mem, he brought back those halachas. Said the Brisker Rav, what would be if somebody would argue today on the pilpul of Osniel ben Kenaz? What if somebody would dingzich, you have a kalvachaymer, I have a pircha on your kalvachaymer. You have a mahatzad, I have a pircha on your mahatzad. Right, what would be if somebody would come and he would frag up the pilpul, the lumnis of Osniel ben Kenaz? The whole halacha l'moishim yisinai would be gone. So this that we say, divrei kabbalah loitimatza behem machloikis, that's a halacha l'moishim yisinai that we have in Mesoira. It's not hinged on the pilpul of a sinner ben kenas. We have it in Messiah. You can't argue with it. A Messiah is a Messiah is a Messiah. The chaldava shetibatim emachloikis be a duish in a kabbalah b'moshe rabbeinu. It's impossible. So any sugi in Shas where there's a machloikis says Rambam, I can guarantee you know it be a dua 1,000,000%. It's not from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not a loch l'moshe misina b'moshe Rabbeinu. But what about the loch is that a tully in the pilpul of a sinner ben kenas? There's no reason you can't argue with the pilpul. And if you argue with the pilpul, now you could argue with the halacha. So the Biskarov said, Moron Agriz, anytime you find in Shas, where there was a machloikis in halacha l'mayish v'sinai, it's from the halachas that were from Asniel ben Kenaz. It's from the halachas that were from Beis Dinoi Shal Yavetz. And the reason there's a machloikis is because the machloikis was in the pilpul of Asniel ben Kenaz, and therefore, by knocking and debating the pilpul, there was an ability to suddenly debate the halacha. In other words, there are two dinim in halacha l'moshe misinai. There are halacha l'moshe misinai that are divrei hakabbalah that we have in the Torah, and then the halacha is l'moshe misinai that the halachas that were forgotten by Me'evel l'moshe, and this that we have it today, it's all adank to use the right sprach, the pilpul of Asniel ben Kenaz. Said the Biskarov, that's the machloikis in this brayse in Yuma Daf Ches Daf Pei Amud Aleph. The brayse says shiurin shalayin. What's Shiurim, halacha l'moshe misinai. It's a regular halacha l'moshe misinai. Acherim oimrim, acherim say, beis dinoi shal yavetz tiknum. It's true, it's the same halacha l'moshe misinai. Of it's halacha l'moshe misinai that came from the bezdin of yavetz, which Rashi says is of who was Asniel ben Kenaz. It's related to the pilpul of Asniel ben Kenaz. L'may nafkamina? Not a fun fact. It's not hashtag rest of the story. Then nafkaminas, could you argue? If it's halacha l'moshe misinai, there can't be any machlaikis. However, if it's Beis Dinoi Shel Yavetz Tiknum, even though it's halacha l'moshe misinai, it's possible to have machloikis. Says the Prima Gadim, coming full circle, that the sheer Zion al Zion of a sukkah is halacha l'moshe misinai. Freik the Chofetz Chaim in his bir halacha, how could it be? The Rambam says, divrei HaKabbalah, loiti matzah b'machloikis. How can it be it's halacha l'moshe misinai? The Teretz is, acherim oimrim beis dinoi shel yavetz tiknum. And like the acherim, it comes out, it's true, it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Oh, it's mitoich populoi shel asniel men kenas. So if it's mitoich populoi shel asniel men kenas, you can have machloikis, even the shiurim. And that's why there could be a beis shamai that said zayin al zayin, and beis sul that said vav vav. By the way, sukkah shigavoy l'mayim me yasimam, a psula, from Yehuda Machshir, and there's a rabbi that holds dal anamas al dal anamas. That's where you can have a bunch of machloikis in now, in the shiur of a sukkah. Ay, shiurim are halacha l'moshe misinai. The Teretz is, but it's mitoich populoi. And if you can argue with the pilpul of Asniel ben Kenaz, now it's suddenly possible to argue with the actual halacha l'moshe misinai. But just to end with one bomb kasha, and I saw this kasha in the Sfarim from the same Peter Ruf, and the history of this kasha is, it's brought down in the Sefer Yehoshua. So there's a Sefer that's called Sefer Yehoshua. Who is the Sefer Yehoshua? So his name was Rabbi Yeshua Heschel Babad. He was the Gaivit of Tarnopol. He was Michas Chinuch's grandfather. So he was Michas Chinuch Zeta. Lived in the 18th century. And he wrote a sefer called Sefer Yeshua. It's impossible to get. Happens to be right here. But this is the sefer is called Sefer Yeshua. And he brings a kasha that he heard from his shvager, who heard this kasha from Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz. So I get a little bit of history here. This is history. So who was the shvager of the Sefer Yeshua? His name was Reb Itzchakel Hamburger, Reb Yitzchak Halevi Ish Horowitz. Reb Itzchakel Hamburger. Reb Itzchakel Hamburger was the Rav of Hamburg, of the triple community, and he was one of the big rabbonim in Europe. He had two famous sons-in-law. He had one son-in-law was Rav Shalom Igra. Rav Shalom Igra was the Rav in Presburg before the Chassam Sofer became Rav in Presburg. In Yeshiva, they say that when the Sois wrote his Avnei Meluim, so he went to Rav Shalom Igra to show him Chelik Aleph of the Avnei Meluim, and when he was there, Rav Shalom Igra was Mechavet to Chelik Beis of the Avnei Meluim. But in Yeshiva lore, Rav Shalom Igra, with all the Gedolim that we heard about in the 1700s and the 1800s, everyone came, no one came to Rav Shalom Igra. Yeshiva world, he was considered like the biggest Goyen of that kufa. But Rav Shalom Igra was an Eidim by Rav Itzchakel Hamburger. He had another Eidim, whose name was Rabbi Yaakov Galanda. So we've spoken about Rabbi Yaakov Galanda. He was the son of the Noid of Yehuda. So Noid of Yehuda had a son whose name was Yaakovka. So Yaakovka was a businessman, but he was Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad. There's some tshuvas in Madura Tinyan of Noid of Yehuda where Rabbi Yaakovka is writing tshuvas, and you get to see a little flash of his lumdus and of his brilliance. He was also a shtickl gvir, so he paid to print the Noid of Yehuda. There's a lot of very interesting history about Yaakovka. But Yaakovka Landau, who was the Noid of Yehuda's son, was also an Eidim by Itzchakel Hamburger, meaning he was a mechutim with the Noid of Yehuda. But kids, so we worked this all out. The bottom line is that the Sefer Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua Heschel Abad, said He writes in the Sefer, he says, I heard a kasha, my shvogu told me that he met Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz, and Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz asked him the following question. This was his question. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, so the real Sefer Yeshua, as in Yeshua ben Nun, not the Tarnu Polaruf. So Sefer Yeshua, the Pasuk says when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael the first year, they ate matzah. When they ate it, mimachras ha-pesach. Now just to frame it, the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael Yud Nisan. Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta Zayin Adar, there were 30 days of Avelos, that was right after the Ptira of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, it's like hard to imagine. 40 years they were in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta, Avelos, they got up, they dusted themselves off, and they entered Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machnes, take it from here. So the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael. So it says that when they entered Eretz Yisrael, they had a Prava Pesach. So they ate matzahs, but they ate matzahs mimachras ha-pesach, which the Gemara says means they didn't eat it on Pesach, they ate it the next day. Supposed to eat matzah, tesvav nisan, that's Pesach. They ate it on tes zayin nisan. So Gemara says, why? Why did they eat it on tes zayin nisan? Gemara says, very poshut. Because when they came into Eretz Yisrael, all the wheat was chadash. They weren't allowed to eat from the wheat. They couldn't eat from the wheat because the wheat was chadash. They needed to bring the korban omer to be matter the tfuah hachadasha. The korban omer was brought on tes zayin nisan. So they couldn't eat the wheat until they were matter of the korban omer. So tes zayin nisan, they brought the korban omer, and then they took the wheat, they made matzahs, so they ate the matzahs, mimachras ha-pesach. Tosfos, in Masechtas Kedushin, daf lamed ches amud aleph, brings a Yerushalmi that asks a bomb kasha. And this Yerushalmi is like the foundation of so much raid. Faith in Yerushalmi, I understand, why couldn't they eat the matzah? What's the problem? Chadash. Yovei asei de be'erev toichlu matzahs. V'ngid chalois asei de chadash. Chadash is a lois asei at the end of the day. Matzah is an asei. So let the asei of achilas matzah be doichlu the lois asei of chadash. So Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz, the Rebbe Rabbi Yonason, he asks Rabbi Itzkel Hamburger, he says, I don't understand. It's mavur in the Gemara Yuma, that Pe'emar Aleph, that the Shiurim were from the halachis that were forgotten, bimei evloi shal Moshe. Beistinei shal yaivetz tiknum, acherim oimrim. That's why you have machloikis when it comes to Shiurim. Because it was, these halachis were forgotten. When were they returned? When did we get the Shiurim back? Asniel ben Kenaz was machsa the Shiurim mitoich populoi. When the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, it was after the Yimei Evloi Shal Moshe. They had just forgotten thousands of halachas. They weren't going to get it back until Yaivetz is Bezdin. That was yet to come. It wasn't around yet. Yaivetz is Bezdin is going to come. But not yet. Which means at that time, they didn't know the Shiurim. Because the Shiurim were from the halachas that were forgotten. Yuma Da Peyam and Aleph. That's the Briskarov. That's based on the initial Yavid Stiktum. That means at that time they had no idea what the Shir was. So maybe they knew a shtickle what the Shir was. But they didn't know what the Kezias was, the Chayra. They couldn't have known 100%. So if that's the case, how could they have eaten Matzah Shal Chadosh? What are you going to tell me? Let that say of Matzah be doicha the lois say of Chadosh. See, if you know what the Shir is, you know what the Shir is, you know what a Kezias is. So you'll eat a Kezias. When you eat the Kezias, you mekayim the mitzvah. You're over the lois say, or be yobe, I say the Matzah, be yitcha lois say the Chadosh. But what would happen if you eat two kezayas? The second kezayas, there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah is to eat one kezayas of matzah. The second kezayas, there's no mitzvah anymore. Chadosh, the iser is alcohol kezayas or kezayas. How could they have eaten it? Maybe they're eating too much. It's impossible. They couldn't have done it. So Rabbi Yonason asks Rabbi Itzkel Hamburger, he says, Ach Vashtenish, how is it possible for the Yidden, what's the Yerushalmi's kasha? They should have eaten matzah shal chadosh, because I say if matzah could be doichel alav of chadosh, it wouldn't have been possible. Because when you say I say doichel ois I say, you can't do any more than the say. It has to be punkloch. So you have to do the say, you do the lois I say, they knock each other out, and you're going to be fine. The problem over here is they didn't know what the shir was. How do you know they didn't know what the shir was? Because they forgot thousands of halachas we may have lishol moshe. One of those halachas was the shiurim, yuma daf peyam and aleph. They would come back by beis din shel yaivetz. That was in the future. This is during that kufa, that interim period where they don't know the shir. So when they sat down and they prav and they ate matzahs the next day, so they ate it. It's a choshev shir, it has a chazanish shir. It's like this, they knew for sure they were yoitza. But right now, we're playing with every little chazishir. Because if you eat a drop more than a kezayas, you'll be over there a chadash, and at the same time, you're not going to be yoitza the mitzvah matzah. And if they didn't know what the shir was, it would have been impossible. Either way, this is the kasha, yes. There's a teretz to this kasha, but we'll save that for the next time.